Bible tonight to Hebrews chapter 2. First of all, I want to say thanks to the great crew that we had out Monday night. It was really exciting to have a big crew out working at the cemetery. In fact, we got all the brickwork done, and that was an amazing fact that all of that brick work got done. It's great to have a younger element of the crew that has, you know, vision and get to itness and finish a job, and makes us older ones that want to quit stick to it. And so that was a blessing. And we have next thing, we're working on getting the fence and the limestone caps for all the brickwork. So pray for that part. And then Jeff Arnold has a lead for us about a 15-passenger van, and we could use a couple mechanics to look at this van. It's a 98, 15 passenger, 70-some thousand miles, and might need a little work, I'm not sure, but the price is right, $1,000. So I know a couple mechanics here, maybe we can have you look at it. So anyway, keep praying that we'll make the right decision. Okay, Acts chapter 2. I said Hebrews chapter 2, I'm sorry. Thinking of two things at once here. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. We began to look last week of the weight of evidence of light, why the Jewish people should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The weight of evidence and light of light, why the Jewish people should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we noticed that the beginning of this evidence was that the Lord Jesus Christ himself spake of salvation. And we looked at a number of places in the Bible. The Lord Jesus began his ministry in the synagogue in Nazareth, quoting Isaiah 61. And as he quoted Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach. And he was declaring himself, out of a very famous passage of Scripture, to be the Jewish Messiah. And we have, of course, many places in the New Testament that tells us that the Lord Jesus was the Jewish Messiah who was going to bring in deliverance to the Jewish people, bring in the everlasting kingdom of God, and, of course, in the process of that, he was first of all going to die on the cross and purchase the salvation of man from the penalty of their sin. And so the first weight of evidence were the words and the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the Bible tells us that the message of Christ was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. That is, the disciples. The disciples declared that same message of salvation, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that Jesus Christ was the Savior, that Jesus Christ had a coming kingdom. We'll look at just a few verses tonight talk about that. But let's look at Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. The words of the Apostle Peter. What did the apostles say about Christ? Acts chapter 2 and verse 27. Verse 23, we find the context. Him, speaking of Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God. Obviously, Peter is saying that Jesus didn't die by accident. He didn't die because people decided to take his life. Jesus died because it was the determined will of God. It was in the plan of God before the foundation of the world that God the Son would die on the cross for man's sin. And it says, but you have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Christ couldn't be held by death because he is the Son of God. He has life in himself. Creator of life, but also has life in himself. And then he goes to say that Christ is this one that was prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 25, for David spoke concerning Christ. He says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So here, Peter says, Psalm 16. Written by David, but was prophetic. It wasn't talking about David. David died, and David was buried, and David's sepulcher was still with them that day, and his body was in that sepulcher. But David said, verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He was prophesying of Christ, that Christ, that his soul would not stay in Hades. In fact, Christ was going to go down to Hades. He's going to go to the paradise. He was going to go to the place of Abraham's bosom. He wasn't going to go to the place of hellfire. When the Apostles' Creed says that he descended into hell, it's not talking about hellfire. He didn't go down there and pay for our sins more. He paid for them all on the cross. On the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." It was completed. But he went down to the lower parts of the earth, and that's where hell is. And hell at that time had two parts. It had a place of bliss called paradise, and a place of torment that we call hell, hell proper. And Jesus went down to the place of bliss and he preached. You know what he preached? He preached to all those people that believed on him in the Old Testament. He preached and said, it's done. It's completed. The salvation that you believed in is now completed. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 that he led captivity captive. He took all those saints in paradise who were waiting for him to die. He announced to them the gospel, and when he ascended up on high to heaven, he took all those saints, and today paradise is in heaven. And now hell is just got two big spots. In fact, Isaiah says hell hath enlarged herself, and because half of it emptied out when the saints were taken to heaven when Jesus died. And now you still have the abyss, the great gulf, the great abyss. The Bible tells us that there's angels, wicked angels, chained in that abyss. And they're going to be released in the tribulation period. But right now they're so wicked that they're chained up. But Jesus went to paradise and he preached the gospel. He preached all those that believed on him the good news that he had died and that the penalty was paid, and now he's going to take them up to be in heaven. And so the Bible says, Psalm 16, David said, speaking of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, and that that he did not see corruption. And so his body was in the grave, but his body did not corrupt. Praise the Lord. And so this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he was going to die, and that he was going to go to paradise and deliver all those people who had believed on him in the Old Testament. By the way, salvation in the Bible is the same from the beginning to the end. There aren't different kinds of salvation. In the Old Testament, Adam believed the promise of a coming of Christ. Abraham believed the promise that through his seed there would be the coming of Christ. The Bible says Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. And so the salvation in the Bible has always been by faith apart from works. By faith in the coming of Jesus Christ. Old Testament saints look forward to it. People today look back to what he did on Calvary's cross. That's the only way of salvation there ever was and there ever will be. And it is faith without works. And so the apostles preached the message. And of course, we're reminded in Luke chapter 24... that when Jesus rose from the dead, and as he was speaking to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, he opened up the scriptures, and verse 44 of Luke 24, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And he said unto them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And so when the disciples preached Christ, what do? They went to the Old Testament, to the very verses that Christ opened up to them and showed them that these were prophetic of Jesus Christ, who would die, who would suffer. And of course, that was the tough thing for the Jews to figure out, that Christ would suffer. But you know, if you go to the first mention of the gospel in Genesis 3:15, it makes it clear that Christ would suffer, because it tells us that Satan's seed would have a mortal wound, but the seed of the woman would have a wound to her heel. In other words, a wound, but not a wound that would destroy. And so we opened up to the scriptures, and that's what the apostles did. They opened up the Word of God, and they showed the exact message that He gave, that He was the one who is going to suffer. Turn to Psalm 22. And we'll go to the next point in a minute. Psalm 22. And this again is what's called a messianic psalm. It's a psalm written by, in this case, David, but it was referring to someone that was bigger than David, that went beyond David, and that the Holy Spirit, as he had men write the scripture, many times they didn't even understand what they were writing about, because it went beyond them. But these are the words that Christ quoted on the cross. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" And of course, the Lord Jesus, as darkness was upon the face of the earth, he said, "Eli, Eli," that is Aramaic, "my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because God the Father had to turn his head, turn his back on Jesus, as he put our sin on Jesus Christ. And you know, so many people are trying to earn their way to heaven. And that's so sad, but it's also so misinformed. Because Jesus Christ on the cross, the Father put our sins on Him. And He paid the penalty. If we are going to pay the penalty, we would have to go to hell ourselves. But the Lord Jesus, as the Bible predicts, was to have the Father forsake Him and have our sins placed upon Him. And so, Acts chapter 3 and verse 18, the Apostle Peter is quoting that verse of is talking of that verse as he is talking about the fact that Christ was going to have to suffer. Acts 3:18. "But these things which God had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, He hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And He shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His prophets since the world began." And we may talk about that a little bit more. But Hebrews 2 says, "It was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit." Now, the Bible tells us that the Jews had great light. They had the Lord Himself preach salvation. They had the apostles declare that salvation from the Word of God and rehearse again that Christ was the Messiah. But God did something. He confirmed their words with signs and wonders. Now, today, there's churches called the Signs and Wonders Movement. And that is an erroneous movement. And we're going to look at the Bible, what the signs and wonders were all about. They had a specific purpose. The Bible tells us that the purpose was to confirm the message of the apostles. That was the purpose of it. It was also a sign to the Jews. And we probably won't get through all of this tonight, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so we'll just barely introduce this. Verse number 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. It says, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why is this a stumbling block to the Jews? Here is their Messiah crucified, suffering. They can't figure that out. But it says to the Greeks that it's foolishness. Well, to the Gentiles, they can't comprehend that. That why would God, who created the earth, why would he die? How come he isn't big enough to escape them? Why did sinful men have the ability to crucify him? That's what wise people say. They say, what is this shedding of blood for the remission of sins? Doesn't make any sense. But the Bible tells us, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That Christ, God the Father, would place our sin on Christ, and that he would rise again, and those that believe on him would not only be saved from their sin, but have new life because Christ rose from the dead. But notice it says the Jews require a sign. And the sign and wonders movement was for the Jewish people. It was for the Jewish people to authenticate the message of the apostles. Now you say, why would you want to do that? Why did they need that? Well, I want to ask you a question. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, how many books of the New Testament were there? Zero. When 8 years had elapsed since the crucifixion of Christ, how many books of the New Testament were there? Zero. The first book of the New Testament was the book of James, and it was not written until after 8 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it would not be another 66 years after the resurrection of Christ that the New Testament would be complete. And so God sought to bring greater evidence to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And he did it with what the Bible says, signs and wonders and divers or many different kinds of miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to be able to finish this, but the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus is the Christ. He is the coming King. He sits enthroned in majesty and glory on high. And he will usher in his kingdom. And in him there is, outside of him there is no salvation. And to reject this would be to reject the future of the Jewish nation. And a sign has a twofold purpose. A sign has a purpose to bring people to faith, but a sign also has a purpose for those who reject it of impending judgment. And just giving you a little preview, it was in AD 70 that the Jewish nation was destroyed. And in the process of time, God put aside the Jewish nation spiritually and physically. And it was the result of a twofold thing. As the book of Hebrews makes it very clear, that there was all the reason in the world to believe on Christ, to reject him is a very serious issue. How shall we escape? Which it says in Hebrews chapter 2. All right, our time is up. Can't go much further. Just got to introduce the third point. The evidence that gives great weight to why the Jews ought to believe in Jesus Christ. The signs and wonders that accompanied the apostles. That in Hebrews 6, the author of Hebrews says were that they tasted of the powers of the kingdom to come. Okay, let's bow in prayer. Father, as we think of all the evidence surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, people are still at the point of having to deal with all the evidence of the scripture, of the prophecies, of the fulfillment of prophecies, of the words of the Lord Jesus, of his message on earth, of his crucifixion, of his resurrection, of the apostles and their testimony of who Christ was, and of the great signs and wonders that affirmed that the message of the apostles was that Jesus Christ had purchased our salvation. Lord, the evidence is still there, and we must respond to that evidence by turning to Christ as our own Savior. May it be so. May we not neglect the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.